Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're looking for homemade psychosocial theories, then you're in the right place. I'm Toya, and welcome to Systems. Welcome. This is Systems, and I am Toya, and thank you so much for being here. We are in the final episode of this first season. This season was just a starting season to kind of let you guys into my world, and to kind of give you just an idea or some theories that may help you in your personal life. That was the goal, to honestly just help you and to provide you with just a different perspective. This, like I said, is the last episode. And this, of course, has to be off the script episode because nothing else would do it justice. This is a fun episode, and by fun, I mean like it's not really deep, but it's a pill to swallow. But I think that it's such a real and honest and explicit and necessary episode, and I don't know if there's any better way to close out this first season. The next season, I'm thinking about titling it The Isms, where we're going to talk about just the different forms of injustices in the world, that sexism, classism, racism, ableism. Like, we're going to talk about so much, and it's just a social space that I want to get into, especially in the time that we're in. Like, there's a lot going on in the world, there always has been. But with things like climate change and police brutality and just the still ongoing fight for women's rights, there needs to be a conversation about that. The world definitely needs to be paying attention to as many of these issues as possible, and it definitely needs people who have possible solutions. So next season is going to be called The Isms, and we're going to get all into that. It's not going to be my same theory space as normal, but it's going to be just as engaging and just as intentional. But let's get right into it. Today, off the script episode, is going to talk about a theory. And normally I don't talk about theories on off the script episodes because that's normally when I run out, if I'm being honest. But surprisingly, the theory came to me, and I was just like, well, this could be dope to kind of just spitball on, because off the script episodes are just like not structured episodes. The only thing I have with me is a post-it note to just keep in mind the core of the theory that I just realized. But that's it. It's a off the hip type thing I'm just shooting. But the theory is called event theory, and I'm gonna explain it all. And I think it's a really dope theory, but I also think it's one that we don't wish to have that much experience with, because it's not a fun theory. But it's educational, and it could help you in so many ways. So I'm gonna set up a scenario. The scenario is, say you work at a place, and my goal in this episode, minor tangent, is to not speak subconsciously, because all of my theories come from things that I'm attempting to heal from and have realized. And because I believe in healing, I try to grow through the things that I go through. So my goal here is to not speak subconsciously, because that's how we often as humans speak, just without knowing what we're saying and why we're saying it. But I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to my words, because I don't want to say anything that puts me in a negative space and puts the audience in a space which is like, oh girl, what you been through? A lot. But we're not going to talk about it. We're going to speak in as many distant metaphorical type figurative language as much as possible. I don't know what that statement was, but we're just gonna try to make up a scenario that has as little to do with me as possible. That's the goal. Okay, so say that you're working at a company. When I was thinking this up, the company that I named was hipster.gov. I don't know why that's a thing. It was just a thing. But you're working at a place called hipster.gov, right? And you're one of the senior members. Let's make you important. Let's make you special, because you are, and I love you. So you're a senior member. Ha. And your boss comes to you one day and said, hey, I have this great idea for an event about children's rights, and I want children's rights and I want you to head it. And he's just like, bro, you know me. You know I love that. You know that's why I hired you. Or you hired me. Look at you owning the company. But that's what I'm passionate about, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You guys are having an event about children, right? And you're excited. So you start doing all this stuff. You start planning and you start getting together posters. And you tell your family about it because you're so excited that you get to do something. You tell your friends about it because they know that it's close to your heart and they can help you celebrate it and encourage you while it's happening. You start social media work. You start branding. You start graphic designing. You get pictures. You hire a couple photographers. You go to some news outlets. Like, you're doing the whole shebang because this is how important this thing is to you. You want to do it as much justice as possible. So everything's in place. You've done everything. There have been a couple setbacks, but you've not let them get to you. And you've made it to the day of. It's exciting. You're eager. I'm eager. This is a hypothetical, and I'm excited for you in this hypothetical situation. You get to the office. Everybody's acting normal. Everything seems about right. The posters are still up. Nothing seems different. You go to your office, and right before you close your door, your boss just is like, wait, hold on, stop. Right there. You go to the door. You're all just like, hey, yeah, I'm so excited for today. He's like, yeah, let's go into your office. You step inside. You're just looking at him, smile on your face, cute. And he's just like, yeah, we canceled the event for tonight. And he was like, yeah, some things just didn't seem to be working. I don't think that it's what I wanted or something. Or whatever happened, the event isn't happening. And he's like, but it's okay. You know, it's okay. And you leave, and they leave, the boss leaves the room, and you're just there. And you're just like, man, what just happened? Here, I had an event that I worked so hard for, and it's not working out. You're just like, okay. You're trying to take it, you're trying to be an adult about it. You're just like, yeah, that's fine. But you're heartbroken. You know you're heartbroken, but you don't want them to know that you're heartbroken because you got to be strong. You got to be a big person. You got to be dope. You got to be cool. You don't want to be irrational. You don't want to cry. You don't want to do anything. You just want to be chill in a moment. You don't want it to overwhelm you yet. But you get home that night and it finally gets to you and you're just like, bro, I gave this my best. I gave it my all. This is one of my most, encouraging seasons. I've given so much of myself. I don't know what I have left. It feels like I have nothing left because I gave it all away. And it's a little bit harder to do things at the moment. Like, you don't want to engage in much. You don't trust people. You don't want to go anywhere. Definitely don't want to go to the event. But you just don't want to. And everybody seems to be living life the way that they were before everything kind of just got messed up. You're just like, why is the world so okay with this? Because the hard thing is that you're the only one with actual skin in the game. And nobody else lost as much as you because nobody else gave as much as you. And I want to just transport this experience because it's called event theory because that's the nicest thing I can name it. But what I'm talking about here is relationships. A lot of times in relationships, you do everything that you can if you want to actually be in a relationship. Now, if you just don't, then you're not going to do anything. But if you actually care about a person or want to care about a person, you do so much. You do so much and to the point of neglecting your own self. You don't care because that person is worth that much, period. That's the end of the statement. And that can be any context. That could be a friendship, that can be family, that could be a romantic relationship, that could be anything. You care so much about that person and you just want that to be a tangible experience for them. You want them to be able to see that, almost like you made an event. It's just like, oh my God, this person loves me. I can see it by the way they talk to me. I can see by the way they address me. I can see it by the way they care for me in my fallen times. Like, this person cares for me. You want them to see that. But you do all these things. You prepare your heart. Those are the key words in this, is that you prepare your heart to love them tremendously. You give them that space. You find that section of your being for them to fit in. And you move all these things aside. You arrange for them a space. You get their favorite stuff inside the room. And then when it's time to move in, they go somewhere else. Or when the event is supposed to happen, they cancel. Or they don't show up. Or they go to somebody else's. And when I say that it hurts differently, or it hits differently, because I'm a millennial, it really does. Because you set a space in your life for them to participate in, and there you are with this big hole unfilled. And that's where you're Christian or not. You can be Christian and still get your heart broken. Yes, God fills all of your gaps and he's the only thing you need, but he didn't put us on this world to be alone. And sometimes that emptiness just destructive. It just makes you feel like you're at your lowest low, and it hurts. And why am I talking about something so depressing in the last episode of this season? I don't honestly know. It was just placed on my heart, but hopefully it impacts somebody the way it's impacting me, because I'm feeling educated at the moment. But continuing the scenario, imagine if this was one of your relationships, and I've already said that, but just imagine if it was one and how that hurts. Now imagine if it was another one. Now imagine if it was 3, 5. It hurts each time a little more. And it's just like, crap, bro. Soon, I'm not gonna be able to open up anymore, because I'm not gonna be able to trust that the people who said they were supposed to show up are going to show up. And I don't want to get to that place in my heart where I can't trust the people that I want to trust, because that hurts. Because it does. It hurts. So you just stop engaging. You just close that part of yourself off. That's a fair and valid reaction to those type of experiences. It's so justified. It's so justified. Like, you don't even have to apologize for that, because it's a lot. I was about to say I couldn't imagine, but then I realized that this theory is coming from a real place, and it's a lot. What are your next steps is the biggest question to ask yourself. Do you close yourself from all possible interactions? Because everyone can hurt you. That's just the reality of it all. Nobody has to be as committed to you as you are to them. And like I said earlier, sometimes you give so much of yourself that there's nothing left. And you're looking at them and you're wondering, man, how can they just do what they're doing so casually? It's because they didn't lose as much as you did. Their hole isn't as big. Now, they might have a hole there because they might have expected something too. But it doesn't even compare to the size of the hole that you have. Because you've been hurt. So you cut yourself off and you try to determine, like, do I just not want to engage with people, or do I want to try again? Because the truth is, nobody's happy alone. Not in a entirety sense. Like, I can come in my room and be alone and be okay. That's fine. But I still want to interact with people. I just also could be myself. Be by myself for a certain amount of time. Now, could I be by myself forever? No. I would not want to be on this earth if I had to spend majority of my time alone. Saying that, I still spend a lot of time alone, but the people in my life make life so much more than I could make it by myself. And you're just like, man, I don't want to lose that. People are so great. I just want to engage with people in a way that advances the positive, or increases the positives of my life. And that's valid. That's what other people are kind of for. That's why we all interact with each other, because we want as many positives as possible. That's a human want. But you don't know how to heal. Not after so many events. Not after so many experiences where you arrive to the destination alone and you thought that everybody else was going to be there and they weren't. It does something to you. So let's think through possible solutions, because I don't just want to give you just a crappy thing to think through and no possible ways of figuring it out. But I want to address the issue that that I'm trying to talk about that is event theory, but I also want to address the reality of what we're doing when we engage in different types or different stages of event theory. And I don't know if that statement made sense. But the first possible solution is pace yourself. And I know that sounds inconsiderate, because sometimes you just want to give it your all as often as possible. But you're the most responsible for you. Nobody else is more responsible for you than you are. And that's your happiness. That's your peace. That's your mental safety. Nobody else is more responsible for that than you are. And you have to be willing to slow yourself down. Because, like I said, you might have to heal tremendously from something. And if you don't give yourself the space and the time, then you're not gonna be okay. And the next time it happens, it's gonna hurt even worse. So the first thing is pace yourself and have as many, this is so important, have as many honest conversations as possible with whomever you're starting a relationship with. And like I said, it doesn't matter the context of the relationship. Have as many honest conversations as possible, because they need to know what you're coming from, who you are, why you are the way that you are, and you need to know the exact same about them. Sometimes you can just meet somebody and vibe with them. Like, that happens. That happened to me recently, and I was just like, met this person off the whim, and I was like, bro, I could be your friend. It was a girl, but I say bro, but I could be their friend. I could just feel it, like we just could get along. But I would still be tremendously honest with that individual. I don't care how much I think they know me. They know what I tell them. And I would just be like, hey, this, that, the third. I would just tell them as many experiences as I can that may increase the possibility of us having a positive relationship. And I would expect the same from them. So be honest. Have as many honest conversations. If something makes you uncomfortable, talk about it as soon as you can. You might not be able to talk about it in a moment, depending on the setting and the placement of the conversation or the incident. But don't let it go weeks, months, years without you saying, hey, this does not feel right to me and I'm not comfortable. Make sure that you make your comfort a priority of the relationship, because if you don't, then they won't. Because often people treat you how you treat yourself. So make sure you're treating yourself well, and make sure that's visible, and make sure that you're holding them accountable as often as you can. And the next part is put as much, this is important, put as much energy in yourself as you do into others. And I don't know if I said that right, but I'm gonna say it again anyway. But put as much energy as you can into yourself as you do with others. I really don't know how to say that statement. But give yourself the same amount of energy that you're giving everybody else. Like, if you're doing all this stuff, if you're preparing these spaces, if you're looking for things that they like, if you're interacting with them, if you're prioritizing them, if you're thinking about them in random moments, you need to be able to think of yourself in the same amount of importance that you're giving that individual. Like, you need to be able to be like, dang, bro, good job, Toya. Or that's great, Toya. Or I'm gonna celebrate Toya right now. I'm gonna listen to this playlist because it makes Toya happy. And that seems selfish, but the only reason that seems selfish is because at one point it became popular to almost neglect yourself, to give yourself to everything else. And I don't believe in that notion. I feel like self-love isn't obsessing over yourself, but self-love also isn't neglecting yourself. It's having a healthy understanding and image of who you are and why you are that way. And you have to put in work for that. You don't just wake up in the morning saying, bro, I'm stable, I'm content. If something was to happen right now, I'd be okay. You don't just wake up with that. That takes maturity and intentionality. You have to be willing to give yourself that. So be willing to, because nobody deserves as much as your love as you do. Me being a Christian, I would say God deserves all of it. But the person next on my list is other people still, and I'm working on it. But it should be other people, and you should be your second place. Your first, depending on what you believe. But it should definitely be high on your list, regardless of anything else. It should be high on your list. And don't think that caring for yourself is a bad thing, because it's not. It's a beautiful thing, and we all should do it as much as we can, because we're dope. And we're dope independently. Nobody else has to come into your life and confirm or deny how valuable you are. But if you don't set a standard, then other people are going to, and you're going to start to operate off of what they say is true. So make sure you guard your heart well, and that you set up a good standard of engagement for other people and for yourself. Set boundaries. But that's pretty much it. Really, event theory is to talk about the realities of what life can be sometimes, and some things don't work out. And that's just a reality that I've been experiencing recently, but I'm pretty sure something that we all go through very often. And I've been trying to figure out how to heal and what healing looks like. And for me, it just looks like breathing, being honest, being broken in some spaces, but also preparing my heart for myself, loving myself, caring for myself, engaging with myself as much as I've wanted to and have engaged with other people. And it's realizing how valuable I am and how to celebrate that as much as I can, because at one point there's going to come a relationship or an event that I go to and other people are going to be there. But I don't want to have displaced myself so much that I arrive and they're there and I'm not even being who I actually am, and I don't have a standard of behavior, and I don't essentially know why I'm there, because I'm not myself. I want to arrive there with an understanding and a composure that reflects the amount of work and things that I've had to experience. So be willing to grow through what you go through, man. That's a tired saying, but just it's the one of the realest ones. Grow through what you go through. There are days that aren't going to be fun, but grow through it, and then collect the information and use it to stabilize and update yourself as much as possible. But that's all. This was the last episode of the series. I'm making a lot of noise right now. Hopefully you won't be able to hear it when I put the music in. But this is Systems. I am Toya, and thank you so much for tuning in for the first season. Bye.